We have an assignment. We have an assignment. Every one of us are catalyst. You're not just here to breathe up the air, but God has placed you here as a game changer. He's placed you here on an assignment. A game changer is a person or an event that causes a change. A game changer is a person that precipitates, if you will, an event. So when a game changer enters into an event or an environment, they elevate that environment. They change that environment. They cause something to move in that environment. In every sector of life, whether it's business or government or church or music or wherever it is, everyone is looking for that one person that can elevate the game. That one person. For example, this year, and I hope I'm correct on my stats. I have got these stats from some other people, but they say that there's over 100,000 young men that will graduate out of high school this year that want to play college football. Over 100,000 of them wanting to make a college team. Now, I don't fully understand the rating system and how this all works, but I was talking to a guy that's a recruiter, and he basically told me that in his camp, there are three levels of recruiting. There's a 3-star, a 4-star, and a 5-star. That's the recruits they're looking at. And out of the 100,000 players that are going to try to get into college football this year, only 25 are considered 5-star players. Those 25 5-star players have an option of about any school they want to go to. When they do well in the college level, if they become a 5-star player at the college level, pro teams will pay obscene amounts of money to get them out of college and onto their, they will bankrupt their franchise to get a game changer. They're looking for that one person that if they inject them into the team, it will cause that team to elevate and become a championship team. They're looking for that player. Now, I believe today that we have a church full of game changers. I believe that with all my heart. And I believe that when we get done with what God is doing here in the next few months, that when people see on your resume the word harvest, they're going to say, hire that one. Hire that one. Because there's a culture inside of us that when we come on the scene, we make it better. We make it better. Wherever we go, we leave an imprint. We want it to be a good imprint. We leave an imprint. We do something. Now, I don't care what it is that you've been put in charge of. Maybe you've been put in charge of changing the toilet paper. I want you to know, since the time the toilet paper was invented until now, you will be the best toilet paper changer in the history of toilet paper changers. Our American culture is resistant to what we say as a church, but they cannot resist our attitude. They can't resist what's in us. Philippians 2 verse 5 says, let this attitude that is in Christ be in you. Let this mind, this attitude. Now let me quickly review from last week. We have a few folks here that we just want to bring you up to date. Last week we talked a little bit about how God operates under the principle of representation. God never shows up like God. He doesn't show up like God. He shows up like a person. God works through people. The kingdom of God, Jesus said, is like a treasure hidden in a field. In other words, we have to learn to look past the person and see God in the person. That's what we have to do. We have to look past the flaws of the preacher, past the flaws of another person, and find the ability to hear God's voice speaking through them. We talked about you cannot miss the gift because you don't like the wrapping paper. You have to be careful because the wrapping paper very seldom indicates the value and the greatness of the gift that God sends to you. We use Matthew 23 verse 11. He who is greatest among you shall be your servant. And we talked about how the greatest companies are not those with the finest mattresses, if you're at a hotel, but it's those that have the best service. There's a big difference between a Ritz-Carlton and a Motel 6. And it's the service. Then we went to Colossians 3, verse 17. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do in the name of the Lord Jesus. Everybody say whatsoever. Whatsoever, God. We're looking for whatsoever people. People that will say whatsoever. People that don't tell God what they'll do, but they say whatsoever. whatsoever people, God is looking for them. When God finds them, here's God's response, Matthew 16, 25. Whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Now, when I was asked to come to Chesapeake to meet with the pastoral committee when they were first looking here, I had never been to Chesapeake before. I had to look it up on a map. They told me something about Hampton Roads, and I didn't know where that was, and so I was up around Boston trying to figure out where is Chesapeake. God said, whoever. I said, whatever. And I'm so blessed I did. Because I love Harvest and I love this city, amen. But if I had not said whatsoever, God would have never said whoever, and we would have missed the connection. It says, and whatever you do in word or deed, do in the name of the Lord Jesus. In other words, everything we're doing, we talked about, we're doing it unto the Lord. We're not doing it unto man, because if you're doing it unto a man, you'll fall short, or he'll fall short, and you'll back out. We're doing it unto the Lord with great passion. We're not doing it robotically. We have heart in it, amen. We're the first there and the last to leave. We do more work than what we got paid for. Amen. You guys got quiet on that. That's our attitude. That's the spirit of a game changer. When a game changer steps on the scene, he might not be making much as that man there, but he works harder than that man, gives more than that man, and eventually he'll change the game. Okay, that's what a game changer does. Now today, we want to step into our text and continue on. Our text for this morning is John 13, and we're going to begin at verse 2. It's a rather lengthy passage, so just follow with me. Oh, you got it on the big. You guys can see that now, can't you? And supper, everybody say supper. Everybody say it. Supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he rose from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. Now, I want you to notice here, it spoke about supper two times, and now supper has ended. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel with which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter. Peter said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? Jesus answered and said to him, what I'm doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this. Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not only my feet, but also my hands and my head. Peter gives me hope. This brother lives with a foot in his mouth. He has no idea what the Lord's doing. He's just there. Okay. Verse 10. Jesus said to him, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you. So Jesus is speaking about, it's more than just an exterior thing. It's an interior thing. I'm doing something internal. Peter's still not catching on. So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, he said to them, do you know what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done. Now remember, this is more than external, it's internal. I want to give you one more scripture and we'll come back. Philippians 2 verse 5 says, let this mind, one translation says attitude, be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. Jesus' eternal name was not Jesus. It was the Word. The Bible says in 1 John 5, 7, there were three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, not the Son, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. His name only became Jesus when he came to earth and took on fleshly form. John 1, 14 says, the Word became flesh. So Jesus gave up the glory of heaven. He gave up the lofty place next to the Father's right hand. He gave all that up, and he came to earth, took on the form and the weakness of a man, and took on the flesh. And our text says today that we should have the same mindset. That should be our mindset. The mindset that does not say, I'm not going down there with the peasants, that's not my job. But the mindset that says, I will go down to them, I will meet them where they are. I'm not going to expect them to come to the church, I will go to them. Got real quiet in the church again. I will go where they're at, I will come to them, I will come to their level. And it says in Philippians 2 verse 7, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself. He became obedient to the point of death, even to the death of the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. Now, everybody I know wants to be lifted up, or how do I be lifted up? Very few people ask me, how do I come down? But if you humble yourself, God will exalt you. The way you get exalted in the kingdom of God is by humbling yourself. It's totally different than the world. It's totally different. It's the kingdom of God. It goes on to say, therefore God also highly exalted him and has given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven, of those on earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. How does that happen? By humbling yourself in Jesus' name. Amen. By humbling yourself. Tell your neighbor, here we go. Here we go. Tell your neighbor, here we go. Now, Jesus is nearing the end of his life. He is coming to the end of his earthly life. He's been here 33 and a half years. It's coming to an end. And there's this thing that we call a bucket list. How many of you know what a bucket list is? Things that we want to do before we leave the earth. Last things always mean something. I need to fly back and see my father soon so I can talk with him. I want to hear last things. I want to hear what, at his age and where he's at, what he sees is important. Now, Jesus is at that point. He's at the place where he's got to finish up the bucket list. And it's amazing to me that his bucket list is washing feet. I do not think that on my bucket list, feet washing would be even at the top 200. Okay? Jesus' concern was not trying to meet the Roman emperor. Jesus' concern was not trying to stand before the Senate or the high priest or any of those people. He was stooping down to wash dirty feet. This was on his bucket list. Now, kingdom people know that there's something bigger happening here than just washing feet. Jesus is sending a huge message to all of us. So let me extract this just a little bit. Let me just dig into it a little bit. Twice in our text, he talks about supper. And he emphasizes after he had eaten, he then took a towel and began to serve. He took a towel and began to serve. When you come into this house today or any day, and you are fed the word of God, the reason you are fed is so that you can turn around and burn off that meal. Amen. The reason people don't care about missing church, or they're very casual about it, I just couldn't make it, things were somewhere. You know why they're that way? Because they haven't burned off the last meal. Their tank is still full. It's kind of like gasoline. If your tank's full, you can't put no more in. So the design of heaven is that you would partake of supper and you would eat very well, but then you would burn that off as you serve. That's why I've called this portion of our message fuel for service. Amen. Jesus ate so that he could have fuel to serve. Now we live in a generation where everybody wants to be served, missing the very point of Jesus's life. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but he came to serve. He came down from his lofty place. He left his name, the Word, and he came down. He says, I'm going to leave off being the Word right now, and I'm going to become the Savior. I will come down to where they are, and I will be what they need me to be. Amen. He became Savior because that's what we needed. He willingly came to serve. This is God Almighty sitting at the right hand of the Father with angels all around and archangels there and everybody there. He comes down to become what we needed at that moment. He did not say, Father, this is what I'm willing to do. No, that's not what he did. He said, Father, I'll become whatever. Say whatever. Whatever's needed, that's what I'll be. Whatever's needed. He humbled himself and became even obedient to the cross. The Bible says in Acts 10:38, he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. He served everybody in his path. He served all the people. He listened to the Pharisees' complaints. And he never, how many of you know he didn't feel like listening to their complaints? He hung on a cross. How many of you know he didn't feel like hanging on a cross? Okay, but he did these things because he came to serve. Everybody wants to be a boss. Jesus said, here's the way the kingdom works. Be what they need you to be. Everybody wants to be in charge. Jesus said, no, that's not the way the kingdom works. I want you to be what they need you to be. He said, I will come and be a savior. They need a savior. I will come and be a deliverer. They need a deliverer. I will come and be a provider. They need a provider. I will come and be a healer. So the Bible then says to us, our text today, let this mindset be in you. This mindset. You come to church to be fed so that you're full and have strength to put on your towel to do whatever is needed. That's the mindset of the Lord. That's the mindset. That's how it's worked. We're supposed to eat well, but by midweek, you ought to be starving for some more food. I'm still trying to get used to not having midweek services because by midweek, my stomach's grumbling for more. Because I'm serving, I'm wanting to give out. So because we've given, everybody say, because we've given out. We've given out. See, if you've been giving out, if you've been praying for people, you've been laying your hands on people, you've been helping people, you've been mowing yards for widows that can't do it, you've been cooking for people, you've been serving at the church, you've been down here at 2 o'clock vacuuming. As you serve, you burn up your fuel. And when you burn up your fuel, it'll give you a desire to feed and to eat so you can have more strength. Now, this might not sound like Christian stuff, but this is Christian stuff. By grabbing the towel and saying, what do you need? What is needed? What does Harvest need now? What does my family need now? What does my community need now? What does this region need now? God, how can we serve? Let this mind be in you. Our vision is not only to build a great church. We want to build a great church, but we want to reach the entire region. We want to train people how to reach the region. We want to reach, and once we train them, we want them to not only reach the region, but reach the nations. It's serving that opens the hearts. We talked about that last week. You serve your wife and you'll open her heart. Oh man, we got to come back. And I'm going to have to get to marriage quick. Quick. It's serving cities that opens a city's heart. It's serving a region that opens their heart. The world looks at a church as a taker. But serving is what will change the perception of how they look at God and how they look at us. Can somebody say amen? Help the preacher out. Thought I was at a Presbyterian church there for a minute. It's been my 40-year experience in churches that people usually come to me and tell me what they're willing to do. That's what they're, that's been. Now, it's not always been that way here. Thank you, Jesus. But it's been that way in most places I go. Pastor, here's what I'm willing to do. And I'll do anything, but just don't stick me in there with those babies. I'm not doing that. That's not my gift. Well, then you're going to have to tear out Colossians 3 that says whatsoever. Just get you a big old X-Acto knife and cut out Colossians 3 because that scripture doesn't work for you. Ooh, it got quiet again. I'm trying to instill the whatsoever attitude into all of us. Into our minds. It's not the job that matters. It's not what you've been asked to do. It's that you have the heart to do it. That's what God's looking for. It's that we have the servant's heart. It doesn't matter if it's picking up trash, changing the toilet paper, or leading or preaching a sermon. It really doesn't matter what your position is. It's that you had the heart to say, whatsoever, God, I'll step into the need. I'll do what you've called me to do. I'll be the whosoever because I'll be the whatsoever. And God will touch my life. Well, Pastor, I'm a prophet, specifically called to men of God, so the Lord would have me to sit in a seat next to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I need you to speak future and destiny into everyone in this house. Let's start with every diaper you change. prophesy destiny and power and life and influence into that child. When I can see you can touch those children and change their lives, I'll put you a chair right next to me. You understand my heart here? I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I'm really not. I'm not trying to tear down anybody's gifts. I appreciate the hard work that everyone has to develop their gifts and to advance themselves. But God is looking for whatsoever people. That's what God's looking for. He's looking for people that will say, you know what? I'm not putting parameters on God what I will do. I'll do whatever he asks me to do. I will put on a towel after dinner, and I will wash the dirtiest of dirty, scummy little cottage cheese-looking feet. You know, you guys are all thinking it's like really pretty pedicured. No, no, these are some dirty feet. They didn't even have no, they didn't have no those fancy spas back in those days. I'm a game changer. Point me in a direction. Give me a towel and I'll change the direction. I'll change it. Amen. John 12 says this. Jesus answering them saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man, now he's speaking of himself, should be glorified. So God had a son, but he wanted a family. So God sowed his son into the earth to create a family, to have a household of faith. John 12, 24 says, most assuredly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. His disciples wanted him to stay. They knew that things were shifting. They could feel the transition. He was talking about something else that they didn't understand. They wanted him to stay, but he understood that if he stayed, it would only be him. But if he died, there could come a harvest. There could come a family. And the Bible says again, Matthew 10, 39, he who loses his life finds it. So when you try to navigate your life by what you like or what you dislike, usually what's happening is your life is seeping away from you. God is saying, come to me, submit your life to me, have a whatsoever attitude, a whatsoever mindset, and I will take you to places that you never thought you'd go. I will set you with people you never thought you would talk to. I will put you in rooms with people that you never thought you'd get into. I remember sitting in the back of that police car, busted, high as a kite. Needle marks all over my arms. I didn't ever think I'd go anywhere, but God. One day I knelt down and I said, God, forgive me of my sins. I got up. I still had back in the day we called it a four-finger bag. I still had a marijuana in my sock. I still had all my fixings in my back pocket, my balloon and my straps in my back pocket. I got up from that place, but my heart was changed. I walked outside of that place. I got rid of that stuff. I had no idea that God would take me to 114 nations of the world to preach the gospel. I had no idea I'd stand before kings and priests and parliaments and different things to speak the word of God to people. I had no idea what God had. But when you submit your life to God and you say whatsoever, you know what my first job was at the church besides trying to beat up the preacher? I challenged him to a fight the very first service. Because I knew that guy had been a peeping Tom. You cannot know all that about my heart without being in my sneaking up on me. So after he got me settled down, thank God he got me settled down, he asked me if I would do something to help the church. And I said, anything you want, anything. He says, we need the toilet unplugged. Amen. That was not an easy job. It was freezing outside. I had to dig down 3 feet into yuck, 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 and dig all that ice out to fix it up. But you know what? I felt like I was doing it as unto the Lord. And God began to elevate me from there. Amen. I didn't start out up here like this. Amen. I started out down there. And God began to lift me up. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? It's an attitude. God's looking for an attitude. Jesus is speaking to a Hebrew culture. The main form of transportation in those days is to walk with your feet. Now, some of the rich people had a donkey or an animal. But for the most part, it was customary to walk. And it was customary when someone came to your home that you would wash their feet. The owners of the house are sending a message that when you come into my house, I want you to be refreshed. Everybody say refreshed. People are grinding out there. People's children are lost out there. People are lonely. People are weary. But when they come into this house, whether it's rain, snow, sleet, or sunshine, when they come in here, I want our doors to open wide and them to see a smiling, cheerful, loving face. I want them to see somebody that will help them check in their babies, and we're not going to add more dysfunction to their life. Oh, bless God, I didn't expect you today. Kids are over there. That might be how you handle your house, but that's not how we do it in this house. Amen. In here, we host single parents. In here, we know that people come in with their backs up against the wall. We know that people have been working overtime all week long, 6 days a week, and they've decided to take a few moments out to be fed. Amen. They're trying to stay afloat. They're living in dysfunction. They're living in pressure. They're living just barely hanging on. That's white knuckle for them. And when they come in here, what we want to do is pull up a chair. Amen. And we want to sit them down and grab a towel and wash their feet so that they can experience a refreshment, so that they can experience the love and the joy and belonging. Everybody say belonging. That's our attitude. That's our attitude for everybody that comes in the doors. That's our attitude. We want the word of God to feed them. We want to give them hope. We want to know that them to know that their life can change, that their future can be better. That's the kind of church I want to be a part of. How about you? Come in here, and by the time you leave, we're going to make sure you get a refreshing. That should be our hearts. What do they need? That's your attitude. When you look at somebody, what do they need? How can I serve? How can I make a difference? Look at your neighbor. Maybe look at two neighbors. Look that way and then look that way. Maybe turn around and look at the guy behind you and say, time to grab your towel. So how far do we take this serving thing? How far do we take this? When Jesus started washing feet, do you remember here? He's washing feet. He washed Judas's feet. I would have been tempted to break his toes. I mean, he could have had the 30 pieces of silver in his pocket at this very moment. Jesus washed the feet of the one responsible for nailing his feet to a cross. Let this attitude be in you. Let this attitude be in you. Moses is leading them out of Egypt. The children of Israel are about to enter into a land filled with houses that they didn't build, vineyards that they didn't plant, wells that they didn't dig, and a land flowing with milk and honey. Moses' time is coming to an end. Again, it's an end of his life. And he's going to write some of his last words in one of the last books that he would write. So I want to read to you just a few more moments out of Deuteronomy. By the way, if you don't like prosperity messages, this scripture is going to make you itch. You're going to need a cortisone shot after this one. Deuteronomy 8. Beware, that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten, there they are eating again. What do you do after you eat? You burn off the fuel and you're full. And have built beautiful houses to dwell in them. And when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and your gold are multiplied and all that you have is multiplied. In other words, when you come to the time when everything is working really good, things are multiplying. Amen. I know this really messes up anti-prosperity people. I don't know why. I like to multiply. But he gives me a warning and he gives me a blessing here. He says, when your heart is lifted up, don't forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. In other words, when it really gets good and you feel like your marriage is lifting, you feel like your life is lifting, your business is lifting, don't forget who put you there. It's the Lord your God. It's a warning. You're going to start to, you hang around God long enough and stuff's going to start turning around for the good. It's going to start, you're going to start advancing. You're going to start multiplying. You're going to come into this land of richness and blessing. And it's just what happens when you're a Christian and you hang around God with a right attitude. You get that whatsoever attitude. Here's what happens. He says, don't forget, it's the Lord your God who led you through that great and terrible wilderness in which there were fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty land where there was no water, who brought water for you out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you to do you good in the end. So in other words, he's saying, remember, Israel, it wasn't always like this. There were serpents out there biting you, but I didn't let the poison kill you. There was no water, but I made water come out of a rock. There was no food, but I sent food from the heavens above. It was when it was hot in the daytime, I put a cloud up there to cover you. At nighttime, I put a fire up there to heat you. I kept you. I helped you. Do not forget. Because he says, then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand has gained me this wealth. He said, don't let me put you there. And then you turn around and let the deceitfulness of riches make you think you had something to do with it. Well, I worked really hard for this. You only had the health to work hard because God gave it to you. Remember how you got there. Amen. I'm not up here thinking I'm some big something, because without God, I wouldn't be here. Amen. I'd be in some prison somewhere or dead, but God. Everybody say, but God. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth, that he may establish what? What is it? That he swore to your fathers as it is to this day. Wow. God gave you something, and then he reminds you to serve others with what he gave you. The covenant means to be blessed so that you can be a blessing. The whole idea is God blesses streams. He doesn't bless reservoirs. If you're not serving, you stop the abundance of God. You stop the flow of God. You stop the gifting of God. You squelch down. You become a desert, a dry place. But if you'll serve, if you'll take what you've been fed, and you'll get a whatsoever attitude and a whatsoever mindset, and if you'll begin to have an attitude that says, let me find the need. I don't care what the job is. I just want to be a servant. I don't care what they ask me to do. It doesn't matter what it is. It matters that my heart is right. My mentor used to tell me, if God can get it through you, he'll send it to you. We are called to serve. Amen. We're called to serve something bigger than ourselves, to serve a higher purpose than ourselves. When we show up, we should add something to the room. Not just stand around. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not just talking here in the church. I'm talking anywhere. You shouldn't just show up on your job and just fill space. You should add something to the environment, to your employer. You should add something there. When you leave the room, something should be lost. Something changes when you leave the room. Something was lost when you left. We're a people that say, we'll grab a towel. We're going to eat, but we're going to put on a towel right afterwards. And we're going to have a whatsoever attitude. We're looking for where we can serve so we can leave an imprint of God there. We come and we fuel up to serve. We fuel up to serve. We fuel up to serve. That's what Jesus was teaching. He says, I'm finding it's not about washing your little scummy feet, Peter. It's about your heart. Now, I know we wash people's feet, and I'm not against that, but it's about the heart. It's about having an attitude, a spirit that's washed and cleansed and says, you know what? I'm not high and mighty. I'm a servant. Just like my Lord, who did not think it less to come down from heaven and serve at that level to help somebody else. That's my heart. That's my attitude. Can somebody say hallelujah? Is it making sense to everybody? This is step two. We're coming right at you. I might not have preached your sermon yet, but I'm coming. We want to be a people with a whatsoever attitude, because success is predictable, and that's our next message. We can predict where you're going. We can see it. And God will help us all. Bow your heads if you would. Father, we thank you so much for what you're doing in Harvest and what you're doing in the lives of your people. I thank you, Lord, for this team that's going to Israel, that your hand of blessing will rest upon them. I thank you for everyone that's a part of this renovation and supporting it. I know some can't do physical labor because of their bodies, but they're supporting, Lord. Bless them for it. Bless them for it. Lord, make sure that all of us, help us, Lord, to have this mindset, the same one that you had, the same attitude you had, that you would leave heaven to do whatever the Father needed, whatever the people needed, that you would come and be the Savior. You'd die for them. You'd be obedient to the Father's will. Help us, Lord, to be that kind of people. Help us to be that kind of people, God. Touch our lives. Don't let us set parameters, Lord. Help us to not set parameters. We can do this, but we can't do that. Help us, Lord, to be big enough. No matter how mighty and great we are, if we see a piece of trash on the ground, we can pick it up and clean up the church so there can be a spirit of excellence in the house. We don't walk past it. We pick it up. We want excellence in your house, oh God. Whatever it is, Lord, whatever it is, we're there. Our heads are bowed. We have some great whatsoever people in this church. There's been people here literally into the wee hours of the morning serving with no recognition, no pay, just serving. I want you to know God sees that. That's what moves the heart of God. That's what causes you to come into a land with houses that are already built, vineyards that are already planted. That's what causes you to enter into new dimensions of His grace and kingdom. Things aren't always perfect, but when God is there, things move in dynamic ways. Now, Father, your blessing upon all, in Jesus' mighty name. I want to take a moment, and I want to change the subject just for a minute. You've come today as a guest or a friend or however you've come, but you've never asked Jesus to be your Lord and your Savior. You'd say, Pastor Ray, Pastor Brad, Pastor William, today I would like to ask Jesus into my heart, my life. If that's your prayer request, I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want to include you in a closing prayer. Would you lift your hand up high and set it back down so we can see it? Just signifying, pray with me today. Pray with me, Pastor. I want God to touch my life. Would there be anyone here today? Anyone at all? Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Look up at me. Our God's a great God. Our God's a great God. We're going to receive communion in just a moment. But I want to say one more thing. Because of this style of services, usually I would preach this kind of thing on a midweek service. Okay, that's usually what I would do instead of a Sunday morning. Sunday mornings I'm trying to more reach people on a different level, but we only have Sunday mornings, so that's why I'm preaching this. But what that means is that we don't really have big altar calls, places for you to come, because unless I just, and I will in the end, we're going to call for people that want to serve. We're actually going to have booths set up where you can sign up to serve. But I don't ever want you to come to this church with a need in your heart and not get prayer. So after every service, we're going to have our prayer team come and stand across the front just for a few moments. If you're here, you've got a need in your heart, your child, money, just victory, you're feeling depressed, whatever. I want you to come to one of these prayer warriors. We have a great team of people, and just let them pray with you for a few minutes. Join with somebody where two or three are gathered together. Come and join with somebody, and just, you don't have to give them all the deep, dark secrets of your life. Just say, I need prayer.